Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
VoiceOver Coffee Shop, Episode 42.
Welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we share our morning with some of the finest names in voiceover. And now, here's your host, voice actor Andrew Morrison.
Hi there. My name is Andrew Morrison, and welcome to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop, where we start our day with some of the finest names in voiceover. If you'd like to know more about me, feel free to check out my personal website at www.andrewdmorrison.com. Now, introducing the voice of pure audio horsepower, the man who has ridden the circuits of multiple radio stations with clients like Wendy's, Aaron's, Sports Clips, TV and radio stations around the world, and the man that has been behind the drive of innumerable Ford commercials, my good friend, Jeff Bell. How are you doing
today, Jeff? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I can hear the imaginary applause now. It's only a kind of applause I've ever really gotten.
How do you take your coffee in the morning, Jeff?
I am a black coffee guy. I started in radio when I was 18 and a half. By the time I was 19, I think, maybe 20. I was 19 when I started the morning job, and it ended right when I turned 21. But during that time, I used to drink coffee with cream and sugar. But the coffee pot was in the back room with my news guy. Now, I'm kind of a morning person, but I'm not a chipper guy. This guy was chipper all the time. So if I would go back there and stir sugar and cream into my coffee, he would start being chipper all around me. I'm like, dude, I can't. I'm just going to drink it black and run in and out of there and get out of there. So that's when that started. Now I just drink it black all the time.
So you started as a disc jockey back in 83, and then you went to full-time VO in 01. What is kind of your origin story to being lured behind the microphone?
You know, you had mentioned when we first talked about how you had dreamt about this sort of job and thought about it as a future career. And I thought, wow, what an interesting take on it. I grew up in small towns, like really small towns, and I never even had a radio station that I was attached to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I never knew a disc jockey's name or any of that sort of stuff. But I didn't think that was even a career field. But I knew I wanted to be a performer. I wanted to play music and that sort of stuff. But we moved to yet another remote location in North Arkansas. And there was an ad in the paper for a radio station. And I went and met the guy. And he liked my voice. And then he was offering a radio school and that sort of stuff. So it kind of just happened all of a sudden where I'm like, oh, this is a thing. I didn't know this was a thing. And then he put me on a midday job so I could make a little money. I took the radio school a couple nights a week. It was an AM daytimer, so it shut off at night and we could use all the gear to practice. So we did that sort of thing. And then I just figured out right away that, you know, this was my thing. I've been doing silly voices my whole life and stuff. So it wasn't that far out of line for me. And I just, you know, I fell in love with it the way you fall in love in an arranged marriage, you know? I mean, we're going to be together. Let's make this work, you know?
Right.
So it wasn't like I always longed to do this, but I always did kind of want to be a singer or guitar player or something like that, you know.
Okay. So when did you, like, what made you want to leave radio and just do the VO side of it?
That is a question coming from someone who's never worked in radio.
Yeah.
A radio guy would never say, what made you want to leave radio?
Right.
He's like, how did you last 18 years in radio? Is the question. I'll tell you, radio is it's a fun little playground and stuff, but it's a super good training ground for voiceover because you're working your pipes all day, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, every day, plus the production and that sort of stuff. So a lot of the theories about how to operate my body that I've put on YouTube and that sort of stuff evolved out of that daily use of my body. And, you know, like the impact of a hangover or eating the wrong thing or the wrong drugs or whatever, you know, as ladies, you could feel the impact. I could hear the impact and I could feel it in my whole carriage, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's when I started to really pay attention to my body. And I decided, you know, that I'm going to do certain things to achieve the tone that I want and the sound that I want, like, you know, skipping meals and stuff.
Right.
Also, to be fair, back in the old days, couldn't really afford to eat all three a day, you know. Yeah. Sometimes not even one of them, but you know, we
right.
Got by.
So what did you do to start evolving your voiceover career, like going from a disc jockey to being practically the voice of Ford? Like, I mean, was that all direct marketing? Were you seeking agencies or how did?
Well, so a lot of it started marketing for promo work for radio. That's where I really kicked off my career. Mm-hmm. And with a partner of mine, we did a bunch of faxing and found a bunch of leads that way. This would have been like 97, 98 kind of era. Mm-hmm. And picked up a bunch of radio stations and he was doing the production and I was doing the voice. So that's kind of where it evolved. But I've always been sort of drawn to commercials, even when I was a kid, and the salespeople always was, I was like the guy, because all my commercials would be, you know, a little extra.
Right.
So I was always into that from the beginning. So it wasn't really difficult to switch into that mindset, the way you think about short form audio visual production, you know what I mean? Because you're creating sort of mind theater. So it was, it was kind of a natural transition. And then really I just marketed to an agent in Milwaukee that signed me. And that's where I got the first Ford audition in 2001. And honestly, it was like one of the first auditions I had ever even done at all. I mean, I guess I'm super lucky or whatever the deal is, but I got that gig. And then it was another, like a year, almost 2 years later, I think, when I got the big gig that kicked it all off for the next 20 years, you know.
Jeez, God.
But it was but there was also a lot of direct marketing. Mm-hmm. In that period, there was direct marketing to car dealers. I had already done some ads for car dealers in Milwaukee, some in Phoenix, and just like whoever was selling cars. I mean, that's kind of my thing. Mm-hmm. So I picked up a bunch of that where I would also do the production on some of it and some of it just voice. But, and that's where I met Corey Disson, because he was at Pro Media Labs and they were doing car ads. And that's what he hired me for, was some various car ads back in the day. So gotcha. Kind of how it kicked off was just moving metal. You know?
So does Ford have you under anything where you can only do like Ford, or like where you couldn't do like a Hyundai dealership or?
Right. I'm exclusive because I've done so much and I'm on so much stuff and I'm running. So there's, you know, that's
gotcha.
That's an issue with competition. So yeah, I mean, like I'm still running. I have no idea where I'm running, but I just recut a spot today that I think we changed four words. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, I don't know what's running or whatever, but it's that kind of thing where I'm out there.
Where you just hop in the car and you turn on the radio and you're like, oh, wait, I know that guy. Or you turn on the TV. Hey, yeah,
I,
that's him.
I am the guy who does not listen to anything in the car.
Really?
I don't really. I kind of been avoiding commercials for the last couple of years, but I don't. The radio was my business. Commercials are my business. When I get in the car, I don't want to think about business, you know. When I get off work, I don't want to think about business. So I kind of just I listen to I might listen to a CD or something in the car, but mostly I just listen to the many voices in my brain.
Right. Okay. So how
A
is
lot of
it?
chatter. There's a lot of chatter up there.
I can imagine. I mean, we are all in padded rooms for a reason. But
There you go.
how is it? How has your marketing changed since you first started to now? Like, what have you been doing differently that's been working for you and in booking you jobs today?
Well, a lot of what happened is that I didn't have to market for a long time. And I was so busy with Ford and with the other things, you know, the Extreme 4x4, and that's the TV stuff. And I was busy. I was too busy to ask for more work a lot of times. But we did, when we started the Bitch Straps guitar strap company in Nashville, there was a whole different level of marketing where we were doing conventions and we tried using social media and, you know, traditional marketing methods with that company. But I wasn't having to do as much marketing. In fact, there were, honest to God, there were some years when I was like, dudes, could I get a day, just a couple of days, where you're not kicking my ass? You know what I mean? So it were some crazy times. And what has happened is that with the evolution of the internet and all the social media and all that stuff, the way you guys are marketing is different and foreign to me. And it's kind of, I'm trying to learn how to stay relevant in the modern marketing era, you know, because I mean, first of all, I think it's illegal to blast people with faxes, and probably because we used to blast people with faxes,
Jeez.
be fair. Why else would they make that law?
Right.
So I don't think you could do that anymore. But you know, we used to mail out CDs and that sort of stuff. You what, huh? You wouldn't do that now. You know, so I think it is interesting. And the social media marketing is interesting to me. And how engaged you can become in that, and how it can almost take on its own life and become its own job. So I'm kind of watching you guys, you younger guys, and sort of paying attention to how you market. And it's not all, it's not all necessarily relevant to someone who's established for 20 plus years, because I'm not a new thing on the market. I'm not
Right.
a, you know what I mean? I'm not a fresh new item. I've been dragged through the muck a little bit, so you guys have heard me and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So yeah, I think it's an interesting juxtaposition of the new marketing with the old guy and how to pull those two things together. So tell me about your marketing, what sort of things you think are relevant to your group, and how, if you think that's relevant to an old codger like me.
Yeah, no, I think it's relevant to anyone, 'cause even established, there are new companies coming in, there are new creative directors coming in, there's a whole new generation filling those seats that don't know your name or don't know the more established people's names. And so sending them an email or LinkedIn messages or even giving them a call, it lets them know, even if they don't need you right now, it says, hey, I'm here. So when you have a job, I'm available. Because you and I were just talking about how availability is such an important thing.
Right.
And so letting them know that, hey, there's another voice that fits this profile, that if we need something right now,
Right.
they're here.
Exactly.
That's all
No,
marketing
so
is.
that's ex yeah, that's
Yes,
exactly
saying, hey, I'm
what I
here.
did back in the day too, is that exact same sort of thing. So I don't think that it's changed much in terms of reaching out and contacting people, but I think it's interesting how your people's have an online presence, which is very similar to being a disc jockey and having an on-air presence. And I think everyone sort of has that. It's like sort of built in, and I'm not always convinced it's a good thing. Like you sort of, I really like the era of not knowing what the voices look like because you get to make up your own face. But I also lived through the era of people who made up their own face, seeing my face not match the beautiful voice that they have a beautiful face for. Everyone on the radio has seen that look of disappointment and despair.
Well, now, I mean, especially with the millennial buyer generation, they want to know who they're working with. You know what I mean? That's why so many people
Well,
are saying
that's
put your
interesting. I
face
mean,
on your website and stuff like that.
you know, when in the day when I was starting out, you could only get so much information about people. You know what I mean? And people weren't posting all sorts of information about themselves. So you could only kind of get what was on their website or their marketing material. So I think that is a, it's an interesting change that you know, I wouldn't think that someone would want to know in depth about me to use me for a voiceover, but that's how the marketplace has changed. That is an interesting thing.
They want to know what your personality is. If your personality fits the
God
voice,
help
if
us.
right, if
That's
if you're gonna be,
why I shouldn't be posting anything. God dang.
but also they want to know who, like, is this person gonna be easy to work with? Because as more people are approaching the voiceover market, there are a lot of people that are difficult to work with, and somebody doesn't want to invest in studio time and pull
Right.
somebody in and then it'd be just a trash session.
That's true. That is true.
So what have you been
I
doing that has been working that you've been kind of incorporating into your voiceover career? What social media or email blasts or what's been
Well,
sticking for you?
I don't know that anything has had a noticeable impact. Being a union member, you know, you're kind of limited in what you can apply for and how much, you know, effect outside marketing is going to have. And I've kind of backed away from the radio and TV stuff. So, yeah, I'm kind of just not really actively marketing a lot right now, other than, you know, direct contacts that come up through through the social media stuff.
So if you're avoiding TV and radio stuff, what are you looking for right now? Like,
Well,
what are you
that's the
working
whole
with?
thing is I'm not really, this is my 39th year behind the microphone. I've done all these gags my whole life, but done these fucking gags, man. You know, so it's like it's not exciting to do the big gags. It's just I'm kind of looking at being more conversational. And just I don't I that's kind of my conundrum right now, is I'm not particularly interested in any genre of voiceover. You know, maybe just being a barker is fine, and I should invest my heart and soul in playing music and the things I love when I'm not working. You know what I mean? I'm making a living. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying about being established, is like I've got all 20 years of people still contacting me, you know, so, and they're still working. So you'll see after a few more years that the, you know, the your marketing efforts will taper a little bit, just because you're busy now. You've got gigs coming in, you know.
Gotcha.
Or you
So
might change the way you market, you know, like I think like the video posting and that you do on social media and stuff can be thought of as like maintenance marketing. where you're keeping yourself sort of present.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with video posts, I mean, a Facebook, like a picture doesn't show what my voice sounds like, you know what I mean? And I can only post my
Right.
demo so many times, and I can only post so much work because a lot of it's either under NDA or the client's like, no, we want to handle all that. So I can only post like either what I get permission for or what I
Right.
decide to put together. So that way people
Well,
can
and
see.
then I don't know about you, but like I'm in a session and I forget to ask for copies of it because I'm just working. I'm just thinking about the work. And it's like later, you're like, oh, yeah, I probably should have got a copy of that. You know
Right.
what I mean? But, you know, again, I've been doing this so long. I got so many old commercials and stuff back there on tapes and reels and stuff that I just, really? No, please don't send me it. I think we're just in different places with that,
Right.
in terms of where we are in our careers and what sort of you have to do. But I keep an eye on you guys, and I feel for you because I know it's a lot of work to do all this sort of even the podcast and stuff. It's a lot of investment to stay, relevant and to stay curious about your industry.
Well, then let me flip that question then. What has, when you're scrolling through social media and you're seeing all of like my generation like building out these posts and stuff like that, what has been the most noticeable to you? Like what's something that you don't just scroll past and you're like, oh, that's kind of neat, where it actually catches your attention?
That is a really good question. I'm not sure that I'm a good recipient of voiceover marketing because a lot of times I just don't want to think about that. I'm on social media to look for other things. So yeah, I'm not sure that I'm a good judge of that. And sometimes I think that I make these judgments, and then later on I think, oh, I'm just being an old boomer now. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so you get your face turns into Avatar or whatever. That's your bitch you put on TikTok or I don't know. I mean, when I go on TikTok, I feel 112 years old, man. Are you kidding me? I just like delete because that's it's. I'm so far removed from that. You know what I mean? I used to listen to 8 tracks, bro. Come on.
Oh, I still have one laying around here somewhere. Like, yeah.
Oh, no. You have a player? Come on.
Yeah, I have an 8-track player, but it was passed down to me.
I
I
mean,
didn't buy it, but it
there
was
are
passed
some
down.
songs that I've listened to in my life that I only know with that click in the middle. You know what I mean? Some songs were just had the click. So yeah, it's interesting to watch and try to imagine what is effective because I'm not sure what is effective on social media because as a recipient it's not for me, I don't think. You know what I mean? And it's just my taste. I think a lot of that stuff just doesn't grab my attention. But I like getting to know you guys. I like that sort of aspect of it. You know, where you do little things where around the studio, that kind of stuff where you're like being real. I think that's a cool thing.
So the
That's the
more
stuff that catches my attention.
authentic posts
Well, and
where they're
like,
not trying to put on like some facade, you know what I
and not
mean?
trying
Like,
to
yeah.
do a voice. You're not
Right.
trying to do
Right.
because, I mean, that's part of the gig. I mean, believe me, I go and I start doing a session like this, and they're like, more truckie. I'm like, more truckie. Okay, I'll get down here and do it down here. But that's what they want. It's not my choice. I don't walk around doing this. Hey, good to meet you. I don't do that. But that's what they want. So that's a gag I got to do. So I got to get my body prepared to do that. So whatever the stupid gag is, that's what you got to do. But I think that it's more interesting to see you being real and having like real studio issues, or just, you know, I'm not always crazy about the advice kind of things, because I'm not sure it's always relevant to everybody. But I think getting to know people in their own environment. And also, you know, it's very weird working alone. A lot of people kind of got a taste for it in the last couple of years. And they're like, oh, hold on. Can't wait to go hang out around the water cooler. Right. But, you know, I've been working alone. I had the 3 years where I had Bitstraps, had a company in Nashville where I had employees and people around and all this stuff. It was really fun. But for the most part, you know, you got to keep yourself in the game, rattling around your house by yourself, you know. Right. So social media is a great way to pull that together. And I think that I feel less alone when I put out something like this, you know, and people can respond and go, okay, that's a guy that I dig or I understand or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Because there aren't that many of us, really, even though there seems to be a zillion of us now. It's not for everyone, you know.
Yeah.
So a lot of people could not sit around in a padded room and be sane. I'm not convinced any of us are sane doing this, but this, you know what I mean.
This is true. We meet. Very,
it's a spectrum. Right. Sanity is a spectrum.
So you just want to kind of ride out your existing clients into retirement while being a rock star?
Well,
is your
is that job available? Because I will be glad to sign up for that. If you know, if that could work out, I think that's a terrific idea. But yeah, I'm not really sure how I want to approach the future, because as you age, you don't get the same kind of payoff. Like barking kind of hurts my body a little more than it used to. And, you know, I can still hit the notes and all that stuff, but 3 or 4 hour session of that stuff, and I'm whooped. I'm like seriously whooped, where I could do that, you know, all day. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, my voice is bulletproof. We talked about this last week with Mark Gus on the Clubhouse meeting, but it's never about my pipes. And you know, we talked guitars before we started, and I spend a lot of time. When I was in my 20s, late 20s, I had this idea for a band, and I started writing songs, and I've kept that going all this time, right? So I'm working on a new album now that these songs have been around for 20 plus years, and I'm just getting good enough to play them and stuff like that. So I keep that sort of stuff keeping me interested, you know, and being in my studio. And by doing that heavy lifting of singing every morning, your body is prepared to do what you've prepared your body to do. That's why we go to the gym, all that stuff. So when I get up in the morning and I sing hard for 45 minutes or an hour, I'm ready for anything. You know, if I can't blow out my pipes, bring it. You can't blow out my pipes. So sometimes I'll even be in sessions and I'll do the first take, and then they'll start analyzing it and talking about, like, hold on, you can't use the first take. We don't do that. And I recognize that they're trying to protect my pipes. And I'm like, don't worry about that. So, you know, that's why I'm a big proponent of exercise and care for your body, work your abs and your ribs and all that stuff warmed up and strong, because it'll carry you through the day. You know, and if you ask a lot of your voice, it will give you that. And if you ask it every day to do that, it becomes accustomed to that. So, you know, when I first had my band, I wanted to be prepared to do a 2 or 3 hour show of singing. I'm not a trained singer, and I don't want my music to sound like a trained singer. I'm kind of like an outlaw country kind of guy. Okay. So I want it to be sort of that thing, right? So I sing you know, like I'm trying to tear down the walls. But it roughs up my voice and it gives me all this power and all this abdominal power and air control. Mm-hmm. That carries me through the day when I get into those sessions and there's no time to breathe. You know, I got to do a 15 on one breath. There's no breathing in a 15. Right. I can get through back in the day. I'm not in shape for disclaimers right now, but back in the day, I could do 25 seconds on one breath. And the magic when you've got your muscles working for you is that when you get to that last 5 seconds, you have a choice, you know, do I cash out now and have to go a whole another 60 seconds? Or do I squeeze the last of my brain cells out of my mouth and get through this spot and hope that we don't have to go again?
Right.
And if you have all this muscularity in your diaphragm, you can squeeze that stuff out. Even as your eyes are tunnel visioning and your brain's starting to shut down, you can squeeze out another couple seconds of like imaginary air. So that's why I do all that stuff, because they're going to ask you to do heavy lifting in sessions.
Right.
So you need to get up in the morning and lift heavy, you know, that's why I do that. And then I also do a workout, you know, a physical, my body workout in addition to that. But I'd like to do the singing first because it works all these muscles in your rib cage, stretches all that out, warms you up. And this is how you breathe. These muscles are how you breathe. Your lungs are passive. These muscles draw the air in and out of your body. That's what you need control over. All this is as how you manage your air. So if you're gasping and just barking out your air, you're going to run out of gas. You've got to manage it, you know, like you would an accordion.
So what are the
behaves a lot like an accordion?
Yeah, what do you do to work that, both in the breathing sense and in the workout sense? What do you kind of focus on to manage that for those long marathon sessions?
Well, I've always done a lot of abdominal work. Mm-hmm. And then I've been really working my obliques a lot too, and that's where these side muscles. Mm-hmm. But just and then, you know, I do pull-ups, I do all sorts of torso exercises. And you may not notice how engaged your abdominals are and your diaphragm and ribs until you get the sort of the muscularity, the musculature to feel it. And then you'll start to recognize when you're using these muscles and how you can sort of gently manage your air by contracting the muscles. You know, I mean, it seems kind of bizarre and weird, but a lot of times I'm managing the last few seconds by really squeezing it out, you know, keeping it down low, because you know, it takes a lot of air to move these big pipes. Right. So I'm really squeezing right from my butt. You know, it's like pushing out the very last bit of air. So they get full when there's none left. Right. And that's all just from having those muscles. You know, I did a lot of crunches in my life. Now I do, I don't even know what they're called, those side to side with the dumbbells.
Yeah.
And crunches on the ball. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anything you can do to, and it's not necessarily about strength. It's about the way any muscle is when you're like, okay, now work, boom, mm-hmm. where you have control of it. And you'll see that. And it may not be relevant to everybody, but if you're doing long, hard, you know, 30s and 60s, mm-hmm. you're going to want that little bit of extra push to manage your air, to get through those long hauls, especially if it takes a lot of air to make the tones you make, deep voices,
right.
You know.
Right, right.
Or like just like what you just did when you go right and they go, yeah, can you do that? But a little deeper. And you're like, right. Right. How do you do that? You know, and That's if you go watch my YouTube channel, there's a video called The Mustang Session. That's exactly the situation I was in during that session, where I was like, I don't know how to make the sound he thinks I can make. He wasn't letting me off the hook. I'm like ready to bail out of the session. I'm like, no, I think you can do this. I'm like, oh shit, I gotta do it. Mm-hmm. And then I just started playing with these muscles again. I've been working them for years. So this was, you know, 20 plus years of abdominal work. And I'm like, all right. So I just started trying to relax and tugging down with those muscles at the bottom of my abs and just trying to drop my voice down into my belly like that. And then I just got myself in a position and held myself there. And then once I got through that session, then I had to figure out how I can position my body to recreate that sound again. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that you can extract from your body via exercise that you don't know your voice can do, just because you're not in full control of all that muscularity. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of that I learned from having it. I know I got the abs, then I got the job. And at the end of a long session, I'm having lactic acid burn right up here. What's that tell you? That shit worked hard, you know? It's not easy to get lactic acid burn.
Right,
you
know, doing voiceover.
Doing voiceover, it's really hard. You know, you can go to the gym and get that in 20 minutes, but, you know, so it'll be really cooking and I can really
blow
feel
out your
it.
Throat, but I don't know about lactic acid burn. The
Well, you know, I was trying to remember the math on it, but that last session I did, of like a 5-hour session, I think I did like 125 tags. To time, they all had to fit. Mm-hmm. So you're doing two or three takes of each one.
Right.
You know, that's 250, 300 reads. You hope your pipes hold up for that, you know, because yeah. Guess what? When you have that job, you're the guy. You don't get to quit.
Right.
This shit prints tomorrow. You got to get it done tonight. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
Part of it is my radio training of just having 6 days a week of having to use my pipes. And then adding to that, my vocal misuse as a singer. But it gave me an incredible strength, and a lot of that dirty raspiness comes from just abusing my voice. But again, if you do extreme sports, you get good at extreme sports. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've learned from doing extreme vocal sports with my body, is that every minute at the gym pays off in the booth.
Huh.
Crazy to think that it's that related, but it's really true, you know?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And sing with Grandpa's guitar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I do. I absolutely do. So
cool.
If you were to write yourself a letter and like send it back in time before you had gotten into radio, and you were going to tell yourself anything, what would you tell yourself?
Wow. That is a crazy question.
Yeah.
Just try to remember that dude. thing about that guy, mm-hmm. I don't know if you could tell him shit. Oh, yeah, I don't know if he was going to listen to anybody. I would just say, just stay the course, you know, just stay the course. And I think that's what I would say to you as someone who's just getting in this business. Keep chipping away and stay the course, because you're a service provider and they don't need your service every day. But when they do, you're the guy and you get the call, bam, bam, bam. You know what I mean? So you got to be there. You got to be there and be ready. So just stay the course, keep doing what you're doing, and they're going to be quiet days, very quiet days. Those are good days to make some calls and to, you know, touch base with your other voiceover friends who are maybe having a quiet day too, you know. So, yeah, I mean, you can anticipate that there's going to be some free time. And there's, you know, it's always a good time to hit the gym or sing or do some marketing or whatever and keep yourself in shape.
Gotcha. Well, hey, Jeff, thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it, man.
It's been fun hanging out with you.
Thanks, Jeff, for coming on to the show. I had a blast getting to know your career a little better and taking this career journey from radio jock to rock star with you. If you'd like to get to know Jeff a little bit better, you can check out his website and demos at jeffbellvoiceover.com. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the VoiceOver Coffee Shop. For more information on guests, new episodes, and more, be sure to visit www.vocoffeeshop.com.
Prime Day es el 16 y 17 de julio. Con las ofertas épicas exclusivas para miembros Prime, recibe el reconocimiento que tanto mereces.
¡Wow! Gracias. Ni siquiera preparé un discurso.
Quisiera agradecer a mi familia, que siempre necesita cosas. También a Sam, mi repartidor, por entregarme todas mis ofertas increíbles tan rápido. ¡Te adoro, Sam! ¡Mua!
Compra ofertas en electrónicos, hogar y más este Prime Day, del 16 al 17 de julio.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.